It's Thursday, July 9th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're having a wonderful day. You know, everywhere you look these days, it seems like everyone's talking about legalizing marijuana. There's that commercial going on in California. There's the Normal commercial we put on earlier this year, and magazine covers and all of the talking head shows on the cable news channels are all bringing people on to talk about legalization. There's never been a better time to get involved with the marijuana law reform movement. And you can do so by forming your own local chapter of Normal. Already I've been emailing back and forth with some activists in Salt Lake City, Utah, who are looking to form a chapter there. They've got an email address set up, slcnormal@gmail.com, if you'd like to get involved. As well as activists from my home state in Idaho, folks in Wichita, Kansas, and Fargo, North Dakota emailed me this week. Just send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll give you everything you need to get started. Remember that it's not that Normal comes down from on high and installs some chapter in your area. It's up to you to start your chapter. It's all about grassroots organizing, and it only takes 5 of you to form your chapter, your board, and get started. You can make all sorts of change, even if it's just educating the public through tabling and having festivals and sponsoring events. You can sponsor legislation, do petitioning. If you're in a state that has an initiative law, you can do a statewide initiative. Or you can do an initiative at the city level. There's so many things you can do, and once you get plugged into the Normal network of activists, you'll have hundreds and thousands of people to talk to through email, the internet, telephone, and so on, to bounce ideas off of and get strategies. So get organized and join normal.org today. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we start with your hemp headlines, of course, with some commentary I picked up from a conservative website where a very thoughtful conservative writer defends legalizing marijuana. It's something I want to hear more of. My home state of Idaho comes back with a very surprising circuit court decision regarding marijuana and driving. The Willamette Week in Portland, Oregon does a cover feature story on the legalization of marijuana, and my commentary on Eddie Lepp and Charles Lynch, federal felons or freedom fighters. Today we visit our Southern California scene, and Terry Joyce brings to us an activist by the name of Lanny Swerdlow out of San Bernardino, California, with some great tips about marijuana. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, features another American Marijuana Music Award winner for the best blues song, Various Lazy, will be in the house today. And in our cannabis conversations, we visit with Bruce Merkin, the communications director for the Marijuana Policy Project, to talk about the effectiveness of their ad that they put out in California and how banning it on a couple stations is actually getting them more traction. We've got the pulse of the cannabis community covered here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash every day. Make sure to check the blog at stash.normal.org for transcripts of these news stories on the Stash, as well as other news stories that we don't have time to fit here. And now it's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Conservatives for Legalization. If the conservatives in America wish to resurrect their Republican Party at its lowest approval ratings ever, they would be wise to return to conservative roots of small government, individual responsibility, and personal liberty by supporting marijuana legalization. They may even make inroads with a huge swath of mighty disaffected liberals, like me, who have for decades now been hung out to dry on the drug war issues by Democrats posturing as tough on crime. Mr. Vice President, I am looking your way. A stasher forwarded me an article from Right Side News that was essentially a lengthy, nasty hit piece on Representative Barney Frank, with typical homophobic references and combining Frank's support for decriminalization with his sexual orientation and a litany of conservative complaints about his politics as one big satanically influenced hodgepodge of evil determined to turn America into Woodstock Nation. I'm not going to reproduce it here. However, it warmed my heart to see the following in the comments from a diehard conservative. Wow, I wasn't expecting this type of article from my side, the right. Although I vote the same as you, I do not agree with you on this one issue. Your style of writing is poor. This is just a hit piece with very little substance. I view this on the level of most from the far left. Republican Ron Paul is a co-sponsor, yet you somehow left that part out? I speak the truth when I say that this issue is the only one I agree with Representative Frank. The only one. There have been hundreds of medical studies over the past 30 years. Nearly everyone refutes your cherry-picked reports, and the fact that the DEA does not support ending prohibition of cannabis is absolutely worthless. The DEA receives billions of dollars to fight the war on drugs. They have a pony in the race. Of course they want to continue receiving the vast sums of money. If cannabis is re-legalized, then they stand to lose billions. Additionally, I recently learned that DEA employees are mandated by law to oppose any re-legalization effort. If the head of the DEA said publicly that he agrees with the Frank Paul bill, then he would lose his job. I'm a solid conservative, and up until around the beginning of this year, I echoed your words for 2 decades. I have voted 100% Republican since Reagan. I don't use any illegal substances, and neither do any of my close friends. My position changed 180 degrees after I began hearing the reports of the thousands of murders happening just south of our border. People are being murdered every single day down there, and it's all because of prohibition in the U.S. As a conservative, I choose to use logic and reason instead of emotion and feelings when deciding where I stand on issues. One method I employ to help me gain perspective is, what do the bad guys want? Ending prohibition to stop the Mexican cartels. One group thinks that ending prohibition will reduce or nearly end the violence and murder along our border. The other group thinks that we must continue this prohibition. The bad guys, cartels, want prohibition to continue. I am not going to side with murderous cartels. Ending prohibition is not a left-right issue, although there is less support on the right than the left. This is a freedom and security issue. Security, because continuing this prohibition will cost us dearly in so many ways. Freedom, because we are a free people, and free people should be allowed to put into their bodies whatever they want, even if it's considered unwise, so long as they do not harm others or infringe on others' rights. There is one part of conservatism I call cruelty. We are tough on crime. I know, and that's good, yet most conservatives still believe it is acceptable to put hard-working, otherwise law-abiding citizens in cages because they choose to consume cannabis instead of alcohol within the privacy of their own homes. I see it as cruel that people, such as yourself, would rather keep human beings in cages and give them a lifetime sentence. A lifetime sentence? An arrest, even without a conviction, will remain on someone's criminal record forever. Their entire life is likely to be much less successful. They won't get hired for the good jobs because of an arrest 15 years ago when they experimented with cannabis in college, for example. The charge of cannabis possession or use guarantees a lifetime sentence. And you're okay with that? Stop being cruel. Idaho law. Driving under the influence of marijuana isn't illegal. Holy shnikes! I think my next road trip home to visit the folks just got a whole lot more fun. In Idaho, you can drive high as long as you can drive straight. Marijuana users can drive legally in the state as long as their driving isn't erratic and they can pass a field sobriety test, a federal appeals court ruled Monday. The three-judge panel of the San Francisco-based 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals wrote that while it is illegal to drive under the influence of alcohol or narcotics, Idaho law doesn't list marijuana as a narcotic. The ruling overturned an impaired driving conviction against Matthew Patzer, 21, who was stopped for a broken taillight in 1998 and admitted to police he'd smoked marijuana at a party. The appeals court said Patzer could not automatically be presumed impaired, he wasn't driving erratically, and passed two field sobriety tests. The appeals court wrote, quote, "Given the distinction drawn by the statute, there is no basis to conclude that impairment may be presumed upon admission of use of a non-narcotic drug," end quote. Willamette Week's cover story on legalization. Our local Portland weekly, the Willamette Week, has a lengthy cover story, Just Say Now, on the surging popularity of the cannabis legalization movement. It features quotes from Ethan Nadelman of DPA, Bruce Merkin of MPP, Representative Barney Frank, and others, and gives the average non-reformer a really good explanation of the valid reasons to end prohibition. But what most warmed my heart is the accompanying article by James Pitkin on the local efforts to legalize cannabis in Oregon. Last month, when CNN's Anderson Cooper needed a place other than overhyped California to film a series about legalizing pot, his producers called the head of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre knew just where to send them. Oregon. Quote, "Oregon is second fiddle to California," St. Pierre told Willamette Week in a phone interview from Normal's office in Washington, D.C. "But it's really the only other instrument in the orchestra," end quote. Some eye-popping statistics show Oregon Governor Ted Kulongoski and other Oregon leaders may be passing on an opportunity. The feds consistently put Oregon in the top 10 states for cannabis use. More than 300,000 Oregonians say they've smoked marijuana in the past month, more than 8% of the population. If pot were sold by the state, some say it could outstrip liquor as a revenue source, bringing in up to $200 million a year. Without a standard bearer in Salem, Oregon's small but earnest band of cannabis activists is left to do for themselves. They plan to put the issue on the 2010 ballot with an initiative called the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. If they can gather 87,000 signatures to put it on the ballot, and voters then approved the initiative, the act would set up the Oregon Cannabis Control Commission. The new agency would sell pot to buyers 21 and over, with 90% of the profit going to the state's general fund and 10% for drug treatment. The article also includes a review of state politicians and their stand on legalization, with a surprising number in favor of legalization, but unwilling to risk political capital to push for it. Eddie Lepp and Charles Lynch, Federal Felons or Freedom Fighters? Commentary by Radical Russ. Sometimes I feel like I'm suffering from outrage fatigue. Day after day after day, I interview the Charles Lynches, Eddie Lepps, Karina Amatos, Eugene Davidoviches, the decent, beautiful, and courageous fellow citizens, brothers and sisters of this movement, who are the frontline casualties of this war on marijuana. To a person, each one I've talked to, and met in person, like Eddie, are the kind of people you'd want babysitting your kids, inviting you to a neighborhood barbecue, or smoking a bowl with. And I have. But there's a picture that I've posted at stash.normal.org that just made me cry. It features Charles Lynch on the left, who has yet to go to prison, standing with Eddie Lepp on the right, on his way to serving 10 years in prison as a man in his late 50s, standing underneath the highway sign that points to the correctional facility. All for being gardeners. And yet, in the photo, there is that mischievous smile on Eddie's face, and a determined look on Charles's that still gives me hope. We don't face the lynchings that African Americans faced. We don't face the bashings that gay and lesbian Americans face. Our oppression is more sanitary, codified into laws that don't directly consider us three-fifths of a human or sodomites, but indirectly demean and imprison a set of American free thinkers who dare to challenge the orthodoxy of synthesizing nature into a nice little pill so middlemen can get rich. People who have made the sensible and rational decision to forego SSRIs, NSAIDs, opiates, and alcohol in favor of the safest therapeutically active substance known to man are dangerous to the ruling elite. Not for the actions caused by marijuana, but for the action of thinking outside the box. The war on marijuana is not about the eradication of a plant species. It's about the eradication of those who question authority. Please visit the Friends of Charles Lynch blog and Eddie Lepp's page, which I've linked to at stash.normal.org, and show your support, both in comments and in dollars. We rear echelon mothers and fathers in the drug war need to be sure our frontline soldiers are cared for.
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
NormalCon 2009. Yes, We Cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. Weed.
That's Hoovy Valley, Hoovy Hall.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Hey, Terry, welcome back to the show. How's everything going?
Everything's going great.
All right. We've got a great segment here. You've got a great guest, but tell me what's happening for you lately.
Well, there was something that I was just noticing this morning. I was watching the news. There was a woman that was arrested in Orange County. I guess her house was really messy. She had bugs and stuff, and she had a 9 and an 11-year-old daughter there where she went over to her friend's house to smoke marijuana.
No.
I just love how they just throw that in, the media. You know, she went over to smoke marijuana. That makes her even worse. Dirty house, and she smokes marijuana.
Yeah, as if it's the marijuana smoking that made her a slob and endanger her kids, right?
Right, yeah. Right. It's unbelievable sometimes.
I mean, can you imagine?
Anything that you could do, like you could be a pedophile and you smoke marijuana. and let's just throw that in there too. Our guest today is a very interesting guest. He is a marijuana activist in the San Bernardino County Inland Empire area, which has its own set of problems. And we met, we were doing a benefit for Rich and Joanne. Do you remember when we had
right.
Rich and Joanne? Okay. We were actually hosting a show together, the whole entire, event, and there was an auction going on, and I had never done an auction before, and it was quite embarrassing because, you'd throw out, the price, and then he would bid something just to get the bidding going, then I would do his bid, and he goes, no, I'm bidding on that. And I go, wait a second, it was like an Abbott and Costello routine. So embarrassing, but he still likes me after that and said he would do the show.
Okay.
So I'd like to introduce Lanny Swerdlow.
All right, Lanny, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Well, it is an honor, and I am flattered to be here on your show. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad we have you here because, like Terry said, you're working there in San Bernardino County. And a lot of people outside of California that are looking into California, looking at the California marijuana movement and medical marijuana specifically, might think of the Golden State as just one big pot paradise where everybody loves marijuana. But really, it's not that way. You've got a kind of a county-by-county situation. I was hoping you could tell our listeners a little bit about what it's like to try to do what you do in San Bernardino.
Well, I always refer to Northern California as medical marijuana nirvana and Southern California as medical marijuana purgatory and the Inland Empire, which contains San Bernardino County and Riverside County, as medical marijuana hell because these two counties continue to arrest and prosecute patients. Although we made some progress in Riverside County, we work not only in San Bernardino County, we work in what's called the Inland Empire, which is made up of San Bernardino County and Riverside County. And we made some progress in Riverside County. Riverside County was the first county in Southern California, for example, to enter the medical marijuana ID card program in Southern California. But they're still very reactionary, just like San Bernardino County. In fact, San Bernardino County, along with San Diego County, filed that lawsuit to have Proposition 215 overturned. Riverside County wanted to get in on that lawsuit, but they were too incompetent to get their briefs in time, and the court refused to allow them to be a party to the lawsuit. But they were just wanting to chomping at the bit to get in there and see if they can get this proposition turned overturned anyway. But as you know, San Bernardino County, San Diego, the lawsuit failed. The Supreme Court said, No, we're not going to even look at this issue. You have to do what your California Supreme Court said, and the California Supreme Court said you have to enforce state law. You can't refuse to enforce state law on the basis that it's illegal under federal law. You must do what state law tells you. So now San Bernardino County is going to start issuing the ID cards on August 14th. They're going to start the program going. And supposedly they're even making moves to set up an ordinance to allow a collective to operate in the unincorporated areas of San Bernardino County. And they're doing this without us even, really pushing them very hard, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
Generally, we find we have to not just, you know, give a little nudge, but an outright shove to our elected officials in this area to get anything done. So, in fact, I have a meeting tomorrow with the Planning Commission in San Bernardino County about this ordinance. So hopefully in a couple months, we're going to see an actual ordinance. The question, of course, is going to be in the details. How is this ordinance going to be written? You can write an ordinance to make it just about impossible for patients to organize collectively. So we're hoping to make sure that we get an ordinance here that has reasonable regulations and reasonable licensing requirements. Oh,
fantastic. Now, you keep saying we are working on this. Which group are you working with, and do they have any websites?
We're a local organization here called the Marijuana Anti-Prohibition Project. We started here in 2000. We see ourselves as strictly local. We work with our local elected officials and our local law enforcement to see to it that California's medical marijuana laws are enforced. Of course, we get involved with state issues and federal issues, but we usually leave that to the big boys like ASA and Normal.
Right. Do you guys have a website if people in the San Bernardino area want to get in touch with you?
Yes, and remember, always add Riverside. It's San Bernardino and Riverside.
Riverside, yes, thank you.
It's www.marijuananews.org.
Okay, marijuananews.org.
.com is another site, but we're www.marijuananews.org.
All right. Go ahead.
And like you, we do a radio show, too, out here.
Oh, okay. Let's give some info on that.
Can access. In fact, our radio show is over the air. It's broadcast on a San Bernardino radio station, KCAA, which is 1050 AM, which, as I understand it, makes us right now the only radio show in the country that's broadcast over the air on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And it can also be heard on the Internet at www.kcaaradio.com. It's on every Monday at 6 o'clock. And hey, you should tune in next Monday because we give away a $25 gift certificate at a local hemp store here. But of course, if you live in Washington, it'd be kind of a drive to come out here to redeem your $25 certificate.
Yeah, you got a point there. So, how long have you been involved in this movement? Does this predate Prop 215 for you?
No. Well, I've been involved. I got involved in 1995. When I became a caregiver for a close friend of mine who had AIDS, and this was a roly-poly guy that had wasted away practically next to nothing. And I saw that his use of cannabis helped his appetite sort of eat and keep his weight on, and it helped control all the side effects from all the medications he was taking. And, back in 95, AIDS was a terminal disease. You
right.
got AIDS, you died. So it was kind of depressing. And the cannabis helped build up his spirits, made him feel better. And, to get the medicine, either he or I would have to go out in the streets and deal with black market criminals to get something that was essentially keeping him alive. I began to realize this is beyond belief, and so I got involved with the local movement there in Oregon to get a medical marijuana bill on the ballot, which passed. And then later on, I became a medical assistant, and I went to nursing school, and I became a nurse. And when I became a nurse, I became absolutely radicalized by the benefits of cannabis to my patients' health. And so I really threw myself in the movement. I even do a seminar now. Every Friday night, 8 o'clock, I have a clinic I work out of in Riverside. I have a seminar entitled, get this now, The Anti-Aging and Health Benefits of Marijuana.
Ooh.
And the seminar's bottom line is that you should be using marijuana. If you're not using marijuana, you're negatively impacting your health. That cannabis should be seen like a supplement. You take calcium supplements to ward off the development of osteoporosis, and you take cannabinoid supplements to ward off the development of age-related illnesses like cancer and cardiovascular disease and Alzheimer's.
Oh, that is so fantastic, Lanny, because I'm always telling people
you understand why that's true.
Yeah. I was going to say, I find that fantastic because I'm always in this reform movement. Sometimes it seems to me a lot of people go out of their way to say, well, I'm against the drug war and I'm against the policies and the prohibition, but they always hesitate to say anything positive about marijuana, like it's good for you. So that's amazing that you're doing that.
That's it. They always say, oh, it's benign, or it doesn't cause any problems, or it helps some people on their deathbed. Give me a break. Yeah, it does all that. But that's not the point. The point is it has tremendous health benefits. We've known that for thousands of years. Our grandparents used to go down to the corner drugstore and get all kinds of medicinal preparation of cannabis. Everybody had some kind of cannabis preparation in their medicine cabinet in the 20s and 30s. And suddenly it became a drug so dangerous that even doctors couldn't prescribe it for their their patients, and now patients, you know, for pain have to turn to Vicodin or Percocet, or if they're depressed, they have to take Zoloft or Wellbutin. This is crazy. This is absolutely insane. People need this cannabis for promotion of their health, and that's how we have to get it out to people. We have to be telling them, listen, it's not some kind of esoteric thing. This is important for your health.
Mm, well said. Terry, do you have any questions for Lanny?
You know, actually, you know, I think he's pretty much said everything. I'm amazed. I mean, it is true. I do believe that that it is good for our health. And you know, again, it's like the ad. You know, it's the stigma. Oh, they smoke marijuana. I mean, how much more can you do that to us? And blindly lead us into that to believe that it's something immoral, or you know, you're a degenerate because you decide to do that. I mean, I'm tired of the personal discrimination myself. I'm getting used to it. But the minute I started to support medical marijuana, I did have some people that, you know, lashed out and said, "Oh, you're a pothead," or, you know, I talk about it, and all of a sudden I had, you know, a judgment that I didn't have before, and you know, I'm fascinated by that. It's a cultural stigma that we need to get beyond.
Yeah. Lanny,
the problem with the movement is that we get so wrapped up in the legal issues that we forget about the bottom line, which is the health issues, and that's what it's all about, and that's what we have to communicate to the people. You know, you talk about these laws and bans and moratoriums. You know, who cares? But you talk to them about how, hey, listen, you're coming home from work and you're all stressed out. You need to calm down. You've got a headache. You've got a backache. You know, you're feeling depressed. You know, whatever. We have to get out to people the message why they should be using it. And we're not doing a good job of that. You don't have, you know, we've got these commercials. You know, everybody's talking about these commercials MPP put on the air here in California saying, you know, we should legalize and regulate. Absolutely. But the question we have to ask people, and of course they're justifying the state needs the money, but the question that we need to get to people is, how does it important to their own personal health, that of their family? And that we have not done a good job. The medical uses of cannabis are legendary, legendary. And we have done a horrid job in getting that information out to the public, and that's what we need to do.
Mm. Again, well,
I agree. I agree with Lanny. You know, a lot of times, yeah, I do. I'll talk to people and, you know, say, well, you know, it's a medicine. And I literally, they shut down, like, oh, don't give me that.
Oh, one of my favorite
really?
Things to do.
You don't even listen to me for a second. You've already gone someplace else in your head. It's frustrating.
But one of the things, we have our meetings here. We have a patient support group meeting, three different meetings throughout the Inland Empire every month. And one of my favorite things to do at the meetings is ask people, well, how many people here think that marijuana has been beneficial to their health? And of course, everybody raises their hand. What do you expect? But it's the enthusiasm with it. They don't just raise their hands. They throw their hands in the air. And, you know, they know it's so important to their health. They know how much it improves their lives.
Mm, yeah. I'm going to have to leave it at that, Lanny. That's about all the time we have. But I want to encourage everyone to check out marijuananews.org. And if you're in the Riverside, San Bernardino area, listen to KCAA 1050 AM Monday, 6 p.m. or check it out on kcaaradio.com. Lanny Swerdlow, thank you so much for joining us here on The Stash.
Well, it's my pleasure, and you're doing what you're doing. This is wonderful. You're educating the public about the importance of cannabis, and we all appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. That's what we're all about. And Terry, thank you for bringing us another great guest for our Southern California scene.
Thank you. I'm happy that he said yes.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Today's toker tune is 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards Best Blues Song, Seems Like the Blues, by Various Lazy. Inspired by greats in the jam band world, Various Lazy's new CD features unconventional song arrangements, lyrical oddities, and an idiosyncratic sound. Various Lazy take pieces of jazz, bluegrass, rock, and blues, and combines them to make something altogether new that is nothing short of a musical adventure. Keep updated about Various Lazy at myspace.com/variouslazylive. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's the 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards Best Blues Song, Seems Like the Blues, by Various Lazy.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our NORML daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations.
Joining me today for our Cannabis Conversations is Bruce Merkin, the Communications Director for the Marijuana Policy Project. Welcome back to the show, Bruce.
Hey, good to be here, Russ.
We've got you here because of the great news about MPP's new ad in California. We played it on the show yesterday, and the response has been fantastic from our listeners. And of course, the big story here is how a lot of these news stations or these network stations rejected your ad, and that actually gets us some more coverage. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what's happening now with that ad and the media response to it.
Well, sure. You know, as you said, the response has been remarkable, and the controversy generated by a number of stations refusing to air it, I think, you know, paid off amazingly in free publicity, frankly, and we hadn't calculated that at all. But in part because of that, we've been on Fox News and even the Today Show on NBC talking about this. So I suppose we owe some sort of debt of gratitude to KABC and KGO and KNTV and the other stations that refused to air the spot. The one positive development, for a couple of days, we literally could not find a broadcast station in Los Angeles that was willing to air it. We were on cable down there, but not on any broadcast TV. Now KCBS, the CBS affiliate in Los Angeles, has agreed to air the ad, and it's going to start on Saturday down there, at least for a couple days.
Oh, that's great.
We moved most of our money into cable because we couldn't find any broadcast, but we are at least going to air it a few times on KCBS. We've had no trouble in Sacramento at all, and we are on a couple broadcast stations in San Francisco as well as cable. Overall, it's really been kind of surprising how difficult it was, but it certainly helped bring attention to an issue in a way that we're just very glad to have been able to do.
Yeah, we found the same thing here at NORML. We had that ad that we put out, I think it was a month or two ago, the Yes We Can ad, and we got the same response, you know, from these broadcast networks, and we too went to cable and numerous outlets out there. What are some of the excuses that the broadcast media give you with regard to not playing the ad?
Well, you know, most of them have been kind of carefully vague and not elaborated. They've said stuff like, well, our standards department didn't approve it, or we were uncomfortable with it, but didn't elaborate. The most explicit explanation we've gotten was a phone conversation I had with the general manager at KABC-TV in Los Angeles, who said he believed that the ad promoted marijuana use and he didn't want to do that on his station because marijuana is illegal. Well, you've played the ad. You and your listeners know it doesn't promote marijuana use. It doesn't say go light up. It just says there are millions of marijuana consumers in this state who would like to be able to make their purchases through legitimate businesses and pay taxes on them like everybody else.
Yeah, and looking at the video on the ad, I don't even recall seeing any marijuana.
There is no marijuana. There are no joints. There are no marijuana leaves. This is as, I mean, we were not trying to kick up a controversy here. We were just trying to make a political point.
Yeah. And the thing that strikes me about this, and some of my listeners brought this up as well, is that when the governor of the state is calling for an open debate about legalization, right there, that gives the leeway to these stations to be broadcasting this as a political ad, not as some sort of marijuana advocacy. And some had asked if whether or not there might be some sort of complaint that MPP could do here through the FCC or some other authority of this being a limitation of political free speech. Any ideas on that?
Well, you know, first of all, I should say that I'm not a lawyer and I don't even play one on TV. But what I'm told by our legal experts is while you can always file a complaint with the FCC, it's very likely that they haven't broken any laws, that stations have a fair amount of discretion in what they choose to air. That said, I do think there's some fundamental unfairness going on here, because you can bet that pretty much all of these stations have aired the ONDCP, Drug Czar's anti-marijuana ads, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, which are frequently just thoroughly dishonest, and I doubt that any of those have been turned down for broadcast standards reasons. So, in effect, whether they want to think this or not, some of these stations really have been taking sides in the debate by airing one side and not the other. And I just find that totally inappropriate.
And you know, looking at that study that they did on those ONDCP anti-pot ads that showed that kids may have been more likely to try marijuana after seeing those ads, we could actually argue they're the ones promoting marijuana use, don't you think?
Well, indeed. And of course, there were a whole lot of problems with those ONDCP ads. But the bottom line for us is that they're certainly aimed at making people think marijuana is bad, terrible, and awful. We're trying to respond, not even saying marijuana is wonderful, simply saying people shouldn't be arrested for it. It should be legal and regulated. And for TV stations to treat that as some sort of promotion of illegal drug use is really missing the point and kind of sad.
Yeah. Now, have you gotten any reaction at the national level, the federal level, I mean, from the Obama administration or the ONDCP?
No, I think they're just trying to pretend we're not around.
Well, so nothing changes, huh?
Yeah, right. And I think that's really been Obama's approach to the whole marijuana issue at this point. He wishes it would just kind of go away.
Yeah. What are your plans going forward with these media buys? Are there more ads planned or different stations you want to play this particular ad on?
Well, you know, at this point, we're not planning too far ahead. You know, it's going to keep running for a few more days. And frankly, we're not sure that we've got the budget to keep going much longer than that. We hadn't budgeted for this. This is, you know, buying airtime in California is not cheap.
Sure.
We sort of felt that we had to do it while this budget crisis is going on. But we may be close to the end of this particular effort, but this is going to be an ongoing thing. This is going to be a continuing discussion in California, and we will be doing what we can to get our points across.
Excellent. Now, Bruce, before I let you go, I just want to give you a chance if there's anything else as far as the political movements here, either in California or elsewhere around the country that MPP is involved with that you'd like to mention out to our listeners there.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things going on. One of the things most interesting right now is we have a medical marijuana bill that's passed in New Hampshire that will shortly land on the governor's desk. And we have no clue what Governor Lynch is going to do. The bill was modified to try to meet his objections, and we may have a 14th medical marijuana state very soon. But if you live in New Hampshire, it's certainly a good time to call and write the governor politely, respectfully, but let him know you think that he should sign the medical marijuana bill when it gets to his desk.
All right. Well, that's good news there, and good news on the KCBS. Again, remind our listeners when they can catch that or where they can catch that KCBS ad.
Well, the simplest thing to do, of course, is to go to our website, which is mpp.org. But if you happen to live in Los Angeles and want to tune in to to KCBS. You will be able to see it on Face the Nation on Sunday.
Oh.
And, the 6 p.m. news on Monday and the very early news, 5 p.m. On, I think, Saturday and Monday.
You mean they didn't schedule to play the ad at 4:20?
I don't think we could schedule it quite that precisely.
I'm surprised. You know, usually the media likes to throw those pop puns at us. So I just, you know, something I was thinking of. Bruce Merkin's the communications director for the Marijuana Policy Project, available at mpp.org. Check out the ad at mpp.org. I've also got a copy of it playing up at stash.normal.org. And thanks for joining us again, Bruce, and good luck.
All right. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with a look forward to tomorrow's stash. We'll be interviewing Dave Bienenstock, the senior editor from High Times Magazine, with a preview of next week's new issue. And we speak to Eugene Davidovich, a man on trial Monday for cultivating marijuana, even though he was a registered medical marijuana patient. Also, don't want to let you forget about the Normal National Conference taking place in San Francisco, California, September 24th through the 26th. You can still register for early bird prices by going to normal.org/conference. If you've never been to a Normal conference, trust me, you need to go to a Normal conference. Not only will you learn more than you ever thought you could know about marijuana during the daytime, but you'll have more fun than you ever thought you could have at night. I'll be there. I hope to see you there. And we have discounts for Normal chapter leaders. Send me an email at stash@normal.org for the secret link. Thanks for downloading the podcast. We'll see you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.